Welcome to the episode of the Nimrod Horror Podcast, where we sit, sip, and talk horror shit. Joey's not here. That is weird. That is extremely weird. But as always, it's your boy Leo. And with me, we got the third guy to fill in for Joey. Say what's up, guy.
How's it going, everybody? It's Vincent here.
Yep, it's that boy Vincent here to help us out with this episode. Wow. Now, last year we did a whole, a Misfits month where we dedicated a bunch of Misfits-based movies. You know, we did Astro Zombies. Which other ones did we do? I'm trying to think about it. I know Devil's Reign. We did, I think, Return of Fly. We did like two Danzig, two Graves. I remember Crawling Eye was one of those. And American Psycho. Correct. We also did Mad Monster Party for Jerry Only era. But I felt like maybe we could have picked a song that's really not that heard of by the Misfits. It didn't make our cut, but since this is a new year going into October, I thought before we start all our October festivities, we do one last Misfit song. Kind of how this one was one of those B-side tracks. It's like a B-side episode, if you ask me. What do you think?
Yeah, could do that.
Yeah, so we went ahead and me and Vincent actually picked this one together. It's A Fiend Without a Face from 1958, directed by Arthur Crabtree. That sounds like somebody from SpongeBob, to be honest.
Yeah, typical 50s kind of director guy.
But before we dive into this film, as I just remembered, I just pretty much gave myself the, the remember? What are we sipping on today? Let's start with you, Vincent.
Oh, I've got a peanut butter milk stout by Belching Beaver Brewery. It's pretty good. A lot of peanut butter flavor to it. It's pretty dark. You can see through the lime in the glass.
Nice glass, by the way.
It's good. It's light.
All right. I have by Unibro. How do you even say that name?
I always say Unibrow.
Unibrow. A Tout Le Monde. It is one of the Megadeth beers. It is the one with the 4.5% alcohol. Now, I will say one thing about this beer. It is extremely smooth. It has a very citrusy flavor, but it's extremely smooth. It's really good. I highly recommend people, if you could find it, pick it up. Grab some. This is some good stuff right here. I was cutting the grass earlier and I had my very first one. And I shit you not, it actually quenched the thirst like you would not believe it. Yeah. Speaking of A Tout Le Monde, did you ever hear that song by Megadeth?
Tout Le Monde? Yeah, I think so, yeah. Pretty sure I've heard it before.
Yeah. And then, like, first it premiered, like, in some Asia compilation, I believe, in 1994, and then they re-released it in 2007 with the chick from Lacuna Coil in it. I don't know what version. I like both versions, to be honest.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Yeah. But we will not try to, because I don't think we've watched any sports, and I don't think we've been up to anything else lately besides working.
Yeah, not a whole lot. I mean, I did watch the Texans lose on Thursday. That was nice.
They're going with the second string. I mean, isn't that the story of the Texans, though? always.
I mean, they won the first game, and that was a surprise to me. I don't expect them to win more than four games this year, but, you know, whatever. See what happens. Tyrod Taylor did surprise me a lot in the first game. Maybe he gets back from this hamstring injury, they can do something. But I doubt it.
He said he's out for a month. Yeah, we could probably see in the month. I mean, old boy didn't do so bad. Like, I honestly thought, was it Bengals?
Or the Browns? Panthers? They played the Browns.
Was it the Panthers? Wait, there was the Panthers.
Yeah, the Browns was the second game. The Panthers was the third game. Yes, Thursday, yeah.
I mean, the Panthers been looking pretty damn good. So,
yeah, the Panthers are always a team where it's 50-50. You know, they'll do good, then they suck, or, you know, but they don't suck hard. So it's not like they're Jaguars.
What's his name, Terrence?
Yeah.
They thought he was going to be the golden child of football.
Lawrence, right? Lawrence. Something
like that. I don't know if it's Terrence or Lawrence. It's one of the two.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, he threw three interceptions to us. It's all fine. It's all good.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, if you think about it, how many college quarterbacks really come into the league and do as well as people claim they're gonna do? You know, Ryan Leaf, Johnny Manziel. It's like Andrew Luck is like the only one
that kind of put out. Lamar Jackson.
Oh yeah, he did pretty good. But it's not as common as they would have you think.
Yeah, but no one expected Lamar Jackson to come out the way he did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's talk us some. I guess we picked this movie because you and me are like a sci-fi nerds in some sense, some form.
Yeah, yeah. A little more than the other guy.
I know, man. I'm so sorry you're such a big nerd. Hey, man, so you got any facts about this film or what?
Well, one of the ones I checked up on was, like, they used a lot of British extras in the film. And so early on, there's a scene where there's a sergeant saluting the major. He does the open hand, like Benny Hill salute. But the major returns with the regular U.S. Army salute.
I should have probably been paying more attention then.
Yeah.
I gotta find the scene now. It bothers me. Well, I know that I read on that it's based on The Thought Monster by Amelia Reynolds Long, published in that magazine, Weird Tales, in 1930. I am very curious to see what kind of stuff they put on Weird Tales, to be honest. Now, let me ask you this. Did you know that the director didn't even want to make this film? He thought it was underneath him. He thought he was too much of a diva to make this film.
Mr. Crabtree was too good.
Yep. I think he just went to Bikini Bottom and started flipping hamburgers, to be honest. Oh, wait. What was the name of that crab? Take off the tree. I'm telling you, his name sounds like somebody from SpongeBob. I swear to God. Every time I think of his name, I think, like, he's down there with SpongeBob. He's related to some crab.
Oh, Crabtree's not an uncommon name. I mean, it's out there.
Name somebody else named Crabtree.
Joe Crabtree. You can't say I'm wrong.
You just... Who stopped recording? I'm not honest. Oh, wait, it just says stop recording. You want to stop recording. I don't know how this works on my side. I technically never do this part. I just do the talking with you guys.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, do you think it's true? Because I also read that Marshall Thompson, the guy that plays Major Cummings.
Yeah.
So he just, like, the director walked off in the movie, and apparently Thompson actually finished directing.
Yeah.
Man, how much you think it was that he finished directing? Maybe that's how we got all this badass gore.
Yeah, I heard that too. Well, I don't know. Maybe, because... Yeah, if this dude was beneath, or if this dude felt the film was beneath him, then he wouldn't have put as much effort as Marshall Thompson. He wouldn't have put effort into it as Marshall Thompson. And maybe, yeah, Marshall Thompson is the reason why we got so much of the blood pumping out of the brains and all that stuff.
Yeah, which I don't know if a lot of people have seen this film or not. Not just spoil my rating, but this is, for 1958, this movie actually goes above and beyond some of the gore. Like, even, I mean, of course, it was, what, 1968 when Night of the Living Dead came out? This could be an example of some of the stuff, like, George A. Romero used, seemed like some of the tactics from this film to make Night of the Living Dead. You have, you know, people barricading themselves in the house.
Yep.
The struggle. At least people are working together in this film. But before we get to all that, maybe we still have some more facts to say, and we'll get to that in the movie. I mean, so one thing is, apparently there was a sequel in the works in 1990 with director Norman J. Warren. Do you know this guy? I don't know.
I don't know the guy.
Same thing with producer Richard Gordon. They were going to use the whole shebang: stop motion, animation, computerized, and physical effects. They're going to make the brains more destructive, more, you know, gory, and they're going to add nudity to this film. So it's probably going to be like a Roger Corman film, to be honest. Yeah. That's what it sounds like to me, but apparently they couldn't even get the fundings to start this film. Go figure. Isn't that always the excuse everybody comes up with? I couldn't come up with the money. No cabbage.
Yeah.
So, and my last, the last I have of it is the remake talk that there was. Apparently on March 22nd, 2010, Roy Frumkus. Frumkus? How the hell do you pronounce that name? F-R-U-M-K-E-S. Frumkus. Frumks.
Yeah, like that.
Okay. I wonder if that guy ever, if somebody of his directors or anything ever, like, listened to the podcast and still, it's Frumkus, you idiot.
They might.
But he actually... Huh?
They just call me and say, that's not how you say my name, fool.
So, apparently, this guy has the rights to this film. And he planned on producing the remake. They printed an update in 2013 that he had wanted to make this remake for over 40 years. And had it all in his head. It was all written. He had it planned out and everything. But apparently, he couldn't get none of the science stuff right. He actually ended up getting, like, some, you know, some smart people to see if they could give him some ideas or how to make this work. And apparently, none of this was able to happen.
So he wanted to, like, really, really super duper explain all the science behind all this shit.
Yeah.
It
felt horrible.
All that, or he was just never satisfied with how they wrote it out. You know, too much of a perfectionist. They're like, no, we got to get it right.
I mean, It says now... He says, I'm interviewing scientists getting the technology straight. It's set in a think tank in Berkshires. And it's not about young people. It's a mature film, but it has a street trash sensibility. So people who like my work will not be disappointed. The website also posted a still from the fundraising trailer that Frumkes has shot for the remake with director Franco Frassetti. As of May 2021, that remake has yet to materialize.
Well, we'll see. There's plenty of years.
I mean, after 40 years, that guy is still trying. Well, that was 40 years when it was 2010. Should be, what, 50 now?
Yeah.
Buddy. I would say get a hobby, but I think you're on it right now.
Yeah.
So with that being said, we could dive into this film that, honestly, for a 1950-something movie, there's a kill count in this film.
Yeah, there is. And you won't know the full kill count.
That's true.
Yes.
Yep. But, I mean, a minute and 30 into the movie, some dude dies already.
Yep, like before the title credits.
Yeah. So, okay, so I personally didn't at first, like, I know they try to, like, zoom in on the whole where they're at thing. So, like, they're on some air-based power plant thing? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's an experimental U.S. Air Force base with a nuclear reactor.
Jesus Christ. Talk about it. Oh, they were trying to spy on the Soviets. No, like, how were they trying to use that technology? Like, was it like to map out or something? Because eventually they start trying to like show a map of the region in the area.
Yeah, they're showing them as you get further into the film. They show the map, the radar screen, and they blow it up, and it's like as if the radar was centered over the North Pole, and you could see the skies of Canada and the skies of Russia. And that way, if any planes took off from Russia or any missiles got fired or anything, they would know, like, instantly. And they used the nuclear reactor to power, to boost the radar that they were taking from a plane flying 40,000 feet in the air.
All right, so let me ask you a question. Before watching this film, did you, like, say, look up a trailer? Did you know what was the thing? What was these fiends? Or could it be one fiend, multiple fiends? Did you have any idea what you're getting yourself into when you started watching this film?
I read a little bit on it, but not too deeply into it because I didn't want to, you know, spoil anything for it. I did read that about the fiends, how they were created and stuff, but it didn't really make sense to me till I started watching the film.
All right. Because, like we said, a minute 30 into this film, some random dude outside the space just gets killed. And it seems like he's, like, being bitten by something. Something's attacking him. Like, you hear this crazy noise. Like, it's like something scurrying, like a slimy effect. Like sound noise, and he just like gags to death, like he chokes to death.
Yeah, it looks like they're being strangled too.
So, you said that you read how they were created. Did you have an idea of what was attacking them?
No, not really.
Hmm. Oh, now I definitely gotta find out what you thought about it when you find out what it was. Yeah, because. Yeah, you know, I one of the things that I read was that in New York, when they were trying to promote this film, that apparently they had a thing of the fiend outside the movie theater. They're promoting it, and it was making some noises or whatnot. It just caught the attention of people walking by and people driving by. So it just caused a little ruckus over there, and police had to be called in. don't know, stuff. So
that makes sense, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like you give away what you're trying to hide in the whole movie. You just kind of give it away before the movie comes out. And things do that. But so we got this whole idea with the man who got killed. The government is not allowed to see the body. They can't do an autopsy because the mayor and the coroner said, no, you can't do this. Like, you can't check the body out. Do you think that the mayor was trying to hide something or anything? It seems like the guy was like trying to get information from this base, which kind of was eventually said. So,
he was trying to get information from the base. He had his little black book where he was writing down the time that the planes took off and landed. So the colonel of the base was trying to use that as leverage to get the guy's body so that they could examine it. But I think it was more just the mayor not wanting them to do anything to any of their townspeople.
Yeah. It also was being said that the town people were, was it one of the conversations one of the guys was having with Cummings was like, oh, if it rains, it's our fault. If it doesn't rain, it's our fault. And they believe it's because of the nuclear reactor that they have there. It's causing like an uproar with like townspeople. It's the farm animals are not really producing, like the cows weren't producing milk.
Yeah.
So little things like that. The townsfolk were just not happy with the airbase being there, especially with whatever the hell they were doing in there.
Yeah, so they had no idea. And it was like late 50s, I guess I could see where people would be leery of atomic power and stuff like that. But
yeah, like, what is it? About 13 years before that, they dropped two nukes on another country?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean the U.S. soldiers were kind of saying like these town people were like backwater, backcountry type people. It's almost like they were inferior to them. I thought that was fucked up.
A little bit.
Eh.
But I mean, if it America. Was in the middle of nowhere, Canada, then I mean, what would you say?
America. But it seems like during this funeral did they mention the guy's name, John?
John Gill?
Yeah, because his sister's the main girl in the movie. Come on,
Grizel,
man.
Grizel. Something Grizel.
Yeah. Well, Barbara. Coming to get Barbara. You, Barbara. Yo, I'm starting to see a lot of similarities here with George A. Romero in this film, to be honest.
You gonna call him out on it?
I'm calling him out. I mean, let's keep count. Barbara. All right. Her brother dies.
Yeah.
In the beginning.
Yeah.
Two. We got,
Is your ripoff counter going?
Yes, sir. Got to. So we do have his funeral, whatnot, and at the moment planes are flying over, but we go over to two farmers, husband and a wife, just minding their own business, and sad to say, but they bite the big one 16 minutes into the film.
Yep.
Now, can you explain to me this? Yeah, two farmers. The wife
two
and the
more
husband.
Deaths. Yeah, two more deaths.
Yes. Can you explain to me the acting in this film when it comes to the deaths? What do you think? Like, do you think it was... nowadays, people laugh at it. You think it'll be?
I mean, A little bit, I guess, but. They would maybe be able to do it better because there's so much CGI shit out there that people are used to reacting to nothing.
True that. I always think of that Scooby-Doo movie. When it comes to not acting with nothing being there.
Yeah.
I mean, at least Guardians of the Galaxy had James Gunn's little brother to be Rocket.
There's that story about the story that I hear a lot about Gandalf in McKellen crying because he's in a green screen room and like, this is not what I became an actor for.
What?
There's some bullshit. I don't know how real it is. I've never looked it up to see whether it's true or not, but it's like they're recording The Hobbit and he's the only one in the room with green screen everywhere and he's sitting on a stool and he's, you know, reacting to tennis balls or some shit. So he starts crying and breaking down and, like, screaming, this isn't why I became an actor.
I mean, a heavily CGI movie like that one, I would think you know what you're getting yourself into.
Yeah, especially after it was, you know, especially since it was after Lord of the Rings. That whole trilogy that he did. You know, so that's why I can't hardly believe that shit.
One ring to rule them all.
It's right here, buddy.
Cheat.
You seen it, haven't you? That's the ring.
I seen it. Now, we need a Smeagol to come to go get your ass.
Can you give it a shot?
Cheat. Now, autopsy. They finally show an autopsy. Well, they don't show an autopsy, but they do an autopsy at this point.
Kind of show it.
Well, got as far as they could. Explanation
of the autopsy. Yeah.
Yeah. You can get to go as far as the 50s, too. You know, shit. But apparently, you got like two little fangs or an incision right where the spine meets the skull or whatever. And it's kind of crazy to think about it. These things are doing what they're doing and how they explained it. That's a fucked up way to die.
Yeah.
So your brain is gone completely and your spinal cord is gone completely. And one of the guys' whole thought of it is it's brain vampire.
Yeah.
I would think, you know, like they say if someone gets shot in the head, they won't feel nothing because your whole body just kind of.
Yeah.
But this is like, and then you hear like that, that slurping. It's like, can you feel your brain just leaving your body? Jeez.
Yeah, well, see, that's where you can't put too much reality into it because if something punctured your spinal column right there at the base of your neck, you would fall down. You'd be a quadriplegic. You wouldn't sit there and scream and grasp at it, try to fight it or anything like that. You'd just be down on the ground.
Hey, maybe that's where Old Boy fucked up then. Not Old Boy, but like Old Boy's remake was all like, I gotta do it right. I gotta do it real.
Maybe. But definitely in a remake, they would have shown the, like when he lifted the thing and like, look, they would have shown all that shit in a remake.
Uncensored version nowadays too. Thank you, cancel culture. So that night, then the mayor gets it. So far, we have a kill count of quattro?
Yeah.
Quattro. Still, the town folks keeps blaming everything on the
Air Force.
Town Air Force or whatnot. But honestly, everything a little bit after this is just kind of at pointless or needless. Literally, we're already like almost halfway in the movie. We don't know what the fuck is going on, to be honest. It's just the town people pointing the finger at the army. The army's like, it's not us, but we're trying to figure out what it is. And it's just the army being the army.
Yeah. Oh, Air Force.
Air Force.
They were the Army. They were the Army, but after World War II, they became the Air Force.
Oh.
Yeah, okay.
The Marines, too?
No, Marines were always Marines since 1776.
All right. Anything else you got? What about the Navy? Ooh.
Oh, Navy was up there with the Marines, too. There was the land forces were the Marines. Navy was the oceanic forces. And then the Army came later. And then out of the Army came the Air Force.
Mm-hmm. Hey, at least the Army learned their lesson not to sit up there with drums while they're being shot at.
That was afterwards, Hope.
I mean, I saw Civil War movies. I saw pictures of Civil War. I'm like, there's a dude out there with a fucking drum. I'm like, yo, at this point, I hear the first gunshot. I'm just hitting the floor. My drumming skills are over. I'm not going to end up like the dude from Def Leppard.
Yeah. But, I don't really think they use drummers past them, besides just in the back, not on the damn front lines.
So
the Americans were the guerrilla warriors of back then. Because back then, every fight was ordered partition lines of soldiers coming at you. And then, you know, these would shoot and, you know, advance and whatever. And the Americans were the first ones to start just like, you know what, we're not going to form ranks. We're just going to fucking come at you. And the British couldn't handle that.
Oh, man. Don't remind me about war. The British. Just think of Blackadder's. Blackadder's season 4 ending.
Well, you know what they say. War never changes.
Oh, man. This one goes to the what infantry were they in Blackadder?
They were British infantry.
Oh, but I'm saying, what division were they?
Oh, I don't remember.
Well, here's to the Blackadder team.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, I think that whole scene where, because it's like you said, they went back and forth arguing with each other about who was responsible for everything. But the constable decided to round up a group of people from town and go look for the rogue GI that was doing this to everybody. He didn't think it was anything at all related with the nuclear fallout, so he tried to squelch those ideas. But he did say there was a rogue GI out there killing people. Yeah. So he took everybody to the woods to find him.
Gibbons, right?
Yeah, Gibbons.
Good old Gibbons. This little party reminds me. I just want to know how the hell everybody got a musket or a shotgun or what, a rifle. This fool pulled up in one car. Fucking gives everybody a rifle. I mean, like,
he's the constable. He can confiscate all that shit. You got a license for that? No, give it up.
You deputize everybody all at once?
Might as well. From that scene, though, that was another thing I noticed. It seemed like Gibbons and a lot of the other guys in that troop started breaking out in the Scottish accents for some reason. I mean, it was filmed in Great Britain somewhere, but yeah.
Huh. You know what? You just made me want to look up something because I think I read something about that. Keep going, guy.
Yeah, okay. So after they do that, Gibbons goes missing. Everybody runs away, and they have a meeting in town with the deputy mayor and everyone to try and decide what to do. And that's when they finally find Gibbons. He returns to town, like, acting like he's been lobotomized. So the brain sucker didn't get to, brain sucker didn't get to finish the job.
I guess not, because if they remove your spine there, guy, you ain't walking.
No, you know. Like I said,
you know,
crumbled to the ground.
Yeah, honestly, like at this point, when I saw Gibbons come in, I swear to God, I'm like, it's a fucking zombie movie. I literally thought that it was going to turn into a zombie movie. I mean, the scene after. All
fucked up.
Yeah, I mean, like after that, was it like Cummings, like, because he met Professor, what's his name?
Walters.
Something like that.
Walgate.
Okay, yeah, he met the professor in a little before that, and you know, he kind of, I don't know if he like peeped some of the professor's work, and he just had a hunch about him, like about whatever was going on. So he just asked Barbara for like a flashlight. He's like, I'm going to the cemetery. So,
wow. Yeah, I don't know why he decided to go to. I don't remember why he decided to go straight to the cemetery, but he did suspect Walgate from before then because he busted in on Barbara taking a shower, and she started talking about all his experiments and stuff, and he was like, "Wait a minute, something's going on here."
Mm.
Especially after he did that little test with the plane and figured out that. They finally figured that something's got to be sapping their power.
Yeah, as I was going to say, it must be nice for back in the day that nobody locked your damn doors.
Yeah, she didn't even shut the door all the way.
Oh, did you notice that, like, I even read about this, like, that they actually used, like, the sequence of her being scared in the, like, the poster of the movie?
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, so they used that, but like that had nothing to do with any of the fiends. It was just like a legit her being scared of old boy coming in on her.
Yeah, like, but I mean, that's just one thing to put on a poster to get people in seats, man. You're back in the 50s and there's this scandalous chick in a towel scene. You're going to go watch the movie.
Maybe. So I know back in the day, in 1990s, them Sears catalogs used to be damn good. Got the women in the laundry, be like, yo.
I did like, did you notice when he was breaking into the house, or well, breaking into the house, they had that little window by the door, and it was like an aquarium-looking thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was an actual aquarium, but it looked like, you were looking outside of a submarine window with all the seaweed and the underwater scape.
I see. Well, literally, it's like, actually, we're almost close to the end of the movie.
We're getting there.
Yeah.
So you say, yeah, he went, goes to the cemetery.
He gets locked in, is it a mausoleum or is, what do you call those?
A mausoleum.
So, and he was easy to find. Barbara knew where he was going.
See, yeah.
Honestly, at this point, I swear to God, like, I literally thought like something was just going to get up, start attacking him down there or something.
The mayor was going to come back up.
Yeah, I mean, if old boy came back looking like a zombie, I'm thinking, holy shit, we're gonna get some zombies in this movie. Let's do this. You can't see what it is attacking you. I'm like, let's go. Like it probably became like a leech or something and starting to control the human body or something. That's my assumption. That's what I thought was gonna happen.
Now they'd have to. From the size of them, they'd have to pull everything out and then like zip the head open and put themselves in.
I mean, when you see what it is 100%, or like, what if it was like, see, man, hold on, we can think of the remake right now. What if it's like a face hugger? Like, it implants something on the spine still. And then as you're dead, it still grows in there and it just takes over.
Yeah.
That could work
in the sequel, yeah.
Sequel, the remake. See, that guy needs to stop looking for scientific facts. Just find something easy to pull out of his ass.
Yeah, don't get hung up on the science.
Come on, that's what they call science fiction.
Yeah.
It's not all supposed to make sense.
Yeah, you can ruin too many movies by just thinking deeply into them, trying to look for reality.
Yeah. And you can also fuck up a lot of voices, aka Super Mario movie.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell's going on with that. You know, they just put it out today that he's not even Italian.
Right?
Mario's not Italian. He's Japanese. His name's Mario.
Okay. Kind of like when people... I mean...
Now what?
It is what it is. I mean, he was made in Japan. Yep. Technically. Like, why would Japan make... I mean, look at the Cowboy Bebop remake. Or not remake. TV show.
Live action.
Yeah, live action.
It does kind of go back on it, though, because if he's Japanese, why is he going, "It's-a me, Mario"? What area of Japan is that from?
Man, what happened is his family moved from Japan, then migrated to Italy, opened up a sushi restaurant in Italy.
Okay.
And the son couldn't figure out how to fucking roll some sushi, so he became a plumber.
Yeah, and then this Japanese mom and dad decided to name their kids Mario and Luigi instead of Kenshiro and
Taku. So they can fit in.
But you said they were born in Japan and then moved.
No. They were... families from Japan, they were born in Italy.
So now he's got dual citizenship?
Yeah. I mean, he's from the Mushroom Kingdom. So
no, he travels to the Mushroom Kingdom.
He travels to the Mushroom
Kingdom. That's where Peach and Daisy are from and Toad.
Aha. So we have family from Japan, moved to Italy, and then there, Luigi and Mario migrate to the Mushroom Kingdom.
How'd they get from Italy to New York?
What happened was...
Well, we saw them go through the portal.
Hold up. I know exactly what happened. After the bomb hit, Nagasaki got hit.
So am I talking to the fiend that took over Leo, or am I talking to...
we're going to map this out, all right? Just to save Nintendo's ass. Hey, man, Nintendo can do whatever the fuck they want. It's their property. Yeah,
they can, because it is their property, and it's not like they're going to stop making money off it.
Hey, out of nowhere, Mario is... has no gender. End of story.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at this point, literally, it's like you get a flashback of what the hell happened. And you know what's funny about this? We're at the 1 hour mark of the movie. Huh. Literally, we're like at the 1 hour mark. The movie is like in 1 hour and 13 minutes.
Yeah, I wasn't paying attention to what time it was and all that.
I was, because I was trying to like set up my earpods to the earbuds to the laptop, and I had to pause the movie, had to do all this, and I'm looking, I'm like, God damn, when are these things going to be shown? When is the attack going to happen? How long is this attack going to be? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hey, man, these last 13 minutes of the movie are fucking beyond epic, all right?
Yeah.
It kind of redeemed this hour-long witch hunt, pretty much.
Yeah.
Because, seriously, I'm really trying to process this. This guy literally goes, what he says? He literally says, I was trying to turn a page with my mind. I was like, are you gonna bother to use a fan? Or a nice little, you know, oh shit.
His own
hey, it don't fan. Even work either. That don't even work. Okay, he proved me wrong without even proving me wrong.
He should have used his OnlyFans.
The fact of the matter is, like, how lazy do you have to be to flip a damn page?
Yeah, but he said it in the thing. He's trying to materialize thoughts. So he's trying to manifest physically a thought.
That's a lazy way to do it.
Is it though? How many times have you tried to do that?
Have a thought?
Exactly.
So, hold up. Here's a thought. So, Mario's ancestors
came from Japan. Physically manifest the thought.
I play the bass. I write my own music.
Ooh,
I manifest music. That's to some people, that's physical because it can hit you in the heart. Because my voice can't do it. My voice is pretty shitty when I say yeah. But yeah, he eventually got the whole able to draw energy from the radiation, was able to make these things more, his thoughts more powerful. To me, this is kind of weird, though, to literally just create something out of imagination like that, pretty much.
Yeah.
See, yeah, science fiction. You don't need science. Too much science.
Yeah. Like I say, that's the basis of the movie. Just thoughts. All that. Then the thoughts turned evil.
Yep. Fucking Hitler.
Yeah, I guess if you want to go with that.
He had thoughts. He manifested those thoughts.
I'm sure he broke a window or two in his time, too.
Yeah, Napoleon. He manifested some thoughts. Got himself killed, but he manifested some thoughts. Yeah, it was strategic thoughts. You make battles be won. Julius Caesar, he manifested some thoughts. Got himself killed, but he manifested. General Custer manifested some thoughts.
I thought you were going to keep going back in time.
Oh, who else manifested some thoughts? The guy who wrote the Bible. Went too far. Went too far. Too far back. Okay, what about the guy that created the wheel? Ah.
Did he manifest the thought?
Yeah, he manifested a wheel.
Because there's nothing round in nature.
I mean, Isaac Newton came up with the theory of gravity when technically, in reality, you pretty much see everything fall if you throw it up. And an apple falling from a tree and hitting you upside the head always made no sense to that being the relativity of gravity. Unless things weren't falling to the ground before he got hit with that apple.
Maybe. I have a point there.
Bum, bum, bum.
The one apple that fell down in the history of the whole universe initiated gravity.
Yeah, before that.
Before that, everything just fucking flew off the earth like nothing. It's a miracle the human race survived.
Mm-hmm. See, stupidity. Sometimes there's knowledge behind it.
Yeah.
G.I. Joe.
Don't G.I. Joe that shit.
So we got Plant Dude gets killed. And it looks like the, these fiends are now able to control machines. Because the little thing there turned the knobs and everything and made like a more power surge that actually manifested these things into, like, they were visible. They became, they got physical. They got a physical form with them.
A visible physical form, because they had to have physical form to interact with physical beings. And that's just how they had their little hands to flip the knobs and shit.
And antennas. Little antennas.
Yeah, that too.
I thought Lockjaw had some better antennas, to be honest. That's what literally when I first saw it, I thought of Lockjaw. From Inhumans.
Yeah.
Like, yo, it's cool. But at this point, like, there was this one scene that I was like, what the fuck are you talking about, guy? It's the scene right when they're like going into the doctor, the professor's office, and then the guy's like, wait, look outside. And then like the camera zooms out, like shows you what's going on outside, and it's like nothing going on. And then like 4 seconds later, a branch moves. I'm like, huh. Like, seriously? Like, what did you see before? Because that was nothing, and then a branch moving. Honestly, if I saw that, I wouldn't even freak out, you know. There's no reason to freak out.
I mean, it looked like artifacts and stuff, but it was, there were leaves moving around and stuff like that.
Not enough for me to go, could have been a windy day outside.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, then we got the scene. They start manifesting. Now let's talk about this manifestation.
Okay.
I swear to God, when I saw these things, I thought I was gonna see a bunch of wires or like them not technically moving, but they use stop motion to do it. And I thought that was actually pretty creative to do that.
Yeah.
To use that in order to make the effects of these things moving around. At this point, it felt like literally any fun movie from the 50s. This is where like I feel like the movie shines at its best. You start getting these little creatures, and all right, like you said earlier, you didn't know what to expect, what you were going to look, what you were going to see. What did you think?
Well, I mean,
physically seeing them.
I started to look stuff up as I was watching the movie also. So I did see a little bit of that, and then I was like, oh, okay, yeah, well, I guess it makes sense, because they're, you know, their thoughts, well, then that's what they look like. But, you know, I wasn't like entirely mind blown, because I've seen other shit like that by now. You know, it's tame by today's standards, even if it was crazy weird back then.
Yeah. So by that time, we have all that attack. We already had a soldier killed. We had the control center guy killed. That's how much kill count we got to that point. We had four. We have old boy Jenkins. And we had... All right. Did he really die? Gibbons? We consider that to be a death.
No, because he was walking around.
Yeah.
He's going to be in a mental asylum or mental hospital for the rest of his life, but, you know, technically alive. But that's why I said you can't verify the kill count, because you don't know how many soldiers were on the base had to go through. I mean, you saw like 6 or 7 different bodies on his way up to the control room, but.
Yeah, if it's a base.
Yeah.
It should be plenty of soldiers up there. So after that, they board up the whole house, defending themselves. Aha, George A. Romero, thief.
And there's the one guy. I gotta get out of here.
Yeah. There we go. So you added one for me. After that, We have old boy Cummins got a plan. He says, by the way, who the hell has a dynamite station before getting to the... Because the way he made it sound is like, oh, halfway there, there's a dynamite base. Like, what yeah. the fuck?
There's like, dynamite the storage room in the base. And then I'll grab some dynamite. Yo.
I guess. Yeah, but the guy who was trying to run away gets killed. Good for nothing.
Well, so Professor Walgate.
No, Walgate sacrifices himself.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's like the one that took it the worst because he got like mauled.
Yeah.
George Romero style. Like, I thought that scene was funny. Like, the way that they jumped towards him, it was some bad. That's like the time their visual did not work whatsoever.
Yeah.
Then we have, he got killed at the 1 hour 6 mark. I remember I told you we were at the 1 hour mark, now we're 6 minutes. Oh, wow. That's what I'm saying. Like, everything happened like in rapid speed, but it felt longer than what it was. Because I don't know about you, but I was enjoying everything that was going on.
Oh, yeah, I was too.
And then you have, like, I mean, I guess the U.S. Army has some of the best shots in the world because these boys were not missing one shot.
Yeah.
At today's standards, half the soldiers in movies look like stormtroopers trying to shoot something.
Yep.
Oh, did I hurt you so super hard? So super
stupid. Oh. And that's why there's a bunch of them.
Join the dark side.
That's why there's a ton of stormtroopers being pumped out of a factory because one of them's going to hit it. You throw enough bullets at something.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
They couldn't hit Han Solo, not at once. He went down by a lightsaber.
Yeah, that was Ben's job. Oh, we don't talk about that fan fiction.
Oh, no, yeah. We don't do fan fiction. We do facts. We do movies that
are real.
Yeah. We don't talk about our dreams and nightmares.
So he finally gets through the dynamite shed into the control room, sets everything up, and one last brain is there to try and mess with him. But yeah, I'm surprised by a lot of the 1950s technology, like how their guns can hold an infinite amount of bullets and how blowing up the control room will somehow stop a nuclear reactor.
Right.
But, you know, that's movie stuff.
Dude, did you ever watch that episode of The Simpsons where, like, you know that one guy? He's so like, yo, man. Like, the guy that always, like, Snake, I think that's his name.
The bad guy, Snake?
Yeah.
With the snake tattoo?
Yeah. I think there was, like, a Christmas episode where, like, they gave him the chair because Bart pointed him out. They, like, took off his scalp. And then Homer, like, the hair got donated to Homer. So, like, Homer started killing everybody because of the hair.
That would be more a House of Horror episode, not Christmas.
Okay, my bad. Yeah, House of Horror episode. And at the end, like, you know, like, the cops show up and they, like, gun it down. And it's like a little shaky fist at him and pa-pach. They shoot him like 2 or 3 more times and it finally dies. That's what like that scene felt like to me. I don't know why that scene popped in my head when like he shot up the brain, the fiend, and then he lights the dynamite. He
kept moving a little bit.
He just kept trying to like turn it up. It almost seems like he almost had it to turn it off and it just dies.
The fiend was trying to do that hero thing where he like keeps going.
Should have added more dramatic music.
Doing the Oh, damn it. I can't freaking remember his name now.
You got to look it up.
Yeah. Made me think of Niven, David Niven.
Hmm? Who the hell is that?
Yeah, David Niven, Bridge on the River Kwai.
I don't even know who the hell that is.
It's an actor.
Sorry.
He was in the movie Bridge on the River Kwai.
Okay, I've never seen that either.
Okay.
Hey, you're more into that BBC stuff than me, all right?
It's a famous, famous movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, another thing that reminded me of a George A. Romero movie. The Girl Was Useless.
Pretty much.
She got attacked twice. The last one, she just got lucky that the damn plant blew up.
Yeah.
Aha. Uh-huh.
No, I was wrong. See, I was even wrong. It's not David Niven. David Niven came to mind, but it is Alec Guinness that was in Bridge on the River Kwai.
I don't even know who that is.
Obi-Wan Kenobi, fool.
The original?
Yeah.
I said Kenobi. I'm sorry.
And this...
Jar Jar Binks!
Movie I'm referencing came out a year before the movie we watched.
Oh, for real?
Color. Yeah, it's in color too.
Oh, I mean, just a couple of movies there were in color by that time.
Yeah, I know.
It's just cheaper to make them black and white.
Yep.
So, with that being said, the planet is saved.
Yeah,
the fiends are destroyed.
Blow up the atomic reactor or the atomic power plant that is powering the thoughts. And as soon as the plant gets destroyed, every thought fiend dies. Even the dead ones dematerialize.
It's just weird.
Yeah.
Like, shouldn't they have done that as soon as they started dying?
Maybe, but maybe that kind of shows they weren't fully dead.
Bum, bum, bum. And then we would have seen tits if there was a damn sequel. I mean, you wouldn't have seen the sequel?
Maybe. But I have one of these. I can look up tits whenever I want to.
Dum, dum,
I can
dum.
Even do it on this thing.
Dum, dum, dum. Yeah, we should become time travelers. Be like, you can watch tits on your computer. Titties. All right, man. All in all, what do you rate this song?
I don't know. It kind of... I didn't really realize it was an hour in. Before the stuff started happening. Yeah, I just kind of... It didn't feel like it stalled to me or had the scene where Gibbons and the other guy kind of split up, that seemed a little extra, but it paid off in the meeting, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, they were looking for the guy that was doing all this stuff, so... It does make sense overall. But I thought everyone was pretty good and I couldn't tell that there was a problem with the director or anything like that. So, I mean, I give it a good 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10?
Because I really like the story.
Do you think we needed more fiends in the movie? Or you think just the way it was?
I think it was a good fiend ratio because you saw them all out there and then they're breaking the boards and then all these fiends start coming into the room. So,
oh, yeah. Right when they're like, we were almost out of ammo.
Yeah, it was dangerous. Like, yeah, home dude's like, I'm almost out of ammo. Well, why don't you grab that fire axe? I don't know. I'm going to use every last damn bullet on these things.
Oh, man.
I requisitioned 27 bullets. I'm going to use 27.
My rating is a little higher than that. It's because I'm such a sucker for these 50 sci-fi films.
Yeah.
I'm just in shock for like the gore they use. Just because of the time, I'm just not picturing it. It's just one process. Like, I wouldn't have thought that. This is my first time watching. It's like, yo, it's some Killer Brains movie. Check it out. Cool. Like, I can picture just like the whole gagging thing or whatever, but I can't picture like when they get shot and they just see all the blood and everything. Like, they don't show the blood on the humans, but they show the blood on the brains.
It might have been another reason to shoot it in black and white, because if it was in color, definitely wouldn't have got made at that time, I don't think.
Well, it's kind of hard to think about it because Hammer just has started doing the remakes to the Universal films, and they did the Dracula film, and like the first thing you see is just like the blood dripped on the Dracula name. So I mean, for Hammer, they were already starting to they wouldn't show gore.
That's also blood. Off the name. That's not, you shoot a head and it fucking explodes and starts blurring blood out at you.
That's true. True that.
Oh. But yeah, overall, it was cheaper to film black and white, so that's why they did it, more than likely.
Yeah, it's literally like the practical effects are in full swing here. The acting is, it's 1950s acting, so you can't get any. Yeah. I feel like if this movie would be remade, I would literally want it to be black and white. For some reason, like, I feel like if you would remake this movie, just go for the, like, make it a B movie. Like, just do the whole, give it the B movie treatment. Don't try too hard to do B movie. Just do B movie. You can do B movie without trying excessively hard to make it a B movie. You know what I mean? Because sometimes you have those films that the acting is just so over the top, but it's like, oh, well, I was told to act this way. I get it sometimes, but
yeah.
This is one of those where don't fuck with the concept. Don't fuck with the recipe behind this film. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I gave it a 9. I was going to go a little higher, but then I thought, couple extra little things, but it's just overthinking. But
yeah, no,
it's like we said, the movie is 1 hour and 13 minutes, and it doesn't feel like 1 hour and 13.
No,
and even some of the dialogue when the people are talking, the chemistry between Cummings and Barbara, it's actually pretty fun, flirtatious at times, awkward.
Little bit, but that's 50s dialogue.
So yeah, it all works out pretty good. Now, what I wish that probably would have been a little more was, like, I kind of wanted to see the whole Gibbons thing. Like, how was he able to survive? How was he able to react to all that?
Yeah,
you know, like. Maybe that's where the sequel lies. Maybe something did plant in him. You know, who knows?
Maybe it was a low point with the reactor and the thing didn't have enough energy to kill him off.
There you go. Maybe it won't survive.
Now I'm making up storylines for the movie.
There we are. Let's write a script. That's what we got to do.
I forgot I was going to say, when they did the experiment, and he's like, take out all the rods, and like, but we're going to die. And like, just take out all the rods anyway. And then, you know, they're sitting there. Nope, it's still not working. And he's like, oh, well, call the plane back and you guys reset everything. All right, let's go home. Didn't even bother to call the plant. Okay, put the rods back in.
It was done off screen. It was done off screen.
Yeah.
That is a pretty dumb. This is a pretty weird thing to even like think about. Yeah. So, do you have any recommendations for our listeners to check out?
I'm sure we recommended this one before, but it's the one thing that came to my mind, you know, sci-fi, gore, horror, crossover, Event Horizon from 1997 or whatever. What year is it?
We have mentioned it. We didn't actually ever recommend it.
So there's my recommendation.
Honestly, that's actually a movie I want to do for the show. I could see a possible future here. Just saying. All right. I'm actually going to go with another 1958 film. It's The Fly.
Oh.
The original one with Vincent Price on it.
Nice.
I remember watching that film. It's not as gory as this one. It does have the whole science gone wrong scenario. Yeah. If you don't know, well, it's kind of like the Jeff Goldblum one without all the body gore. Guy creates a teleporting machine. He gets infused with a fly. Typical scenario story on that. Like, kind of goes with that, but he seemed more like a family man in the original one. He seemed to be caring about his family, and he was just getting desperate to make this thing work, and one problem led to another. So his hand and his head become the fly, and his head and arm for his regular body go to the fly. So the family's looking for this fly in order to get the father back to normal. But it's really crazy how it begins with like a murder, then goes into this whole sci-fi thing, and then like the reveal of the fly is just, it's like, yo, what the fuck? It's like, it's crazy, yeah. You know?
And then so, you get that whole, that's the one with the iconic, I can't even do it because I can't get my voice that high.
Yeah.
Let's do it to help me from the web.
Help me! Help me!
I can't do it. It fucking hurts when I try that shit.
I mean, dude, I remember watching that movie when I saw that shit. I was like, yo! I don't know if to feel heartbroken or to just be like, this is just a horror film, you know?
Yeah.
I remember The Simpsons also did the spoof to that one. But they seem to take more from The Fly, like the 1950s more than the Jeff Goldblum
movie. That's a safer one to do.
Yeah. I mean, but it's animated. Like, you can get away with some animation.
Yeah, but the whole taking off the body parts, picking up the hooker at the truck, or whatever, breaking the dude's arm.
Okay, we don't need all that.
Yeah, you ain't gonna put all that shit in a fucking Simpsons episode. You can put the guy, help me, on a fucking spider web.
Parts. If I remember that episode, Bart just flies off. So with that being said, where could people find you at, Mr. V?
As always, at ELCID the first. Look me up wherever. That's where I'm at.
Don't you have a streaming platform?
Yeah. It's the same thing. It's on Twitch. Look for Elsid the first. Instagram, Facebook. Oh, not Facebook. I don't have Facebook. Instagram or Twitter.
All right. For me, you can find me at XXLeoXR2D2XX on Instagram. And on Discord, but I always forget those last digits at the end of Discord because...
Yeah, I don't pay too much attention to that either. All those digits.
Too many digits. Too many digits. Too many numbers for me. I already work with too many numbers at work. I don't need to remember no more extra numbers.
Exactly.
So you can also find the entire podcast at Nimrod Horror Podcast, one word, on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. Subscribe, like, join the conversations, comment the videos. You want to join us on an episode, let us know. We're all about having fun over here. We like to drink, enjoy, have fun. You got ideas to do an episode, whatever, hit us up. And from me, the entire podcast, and Nimrod Productions, that's what we're going to start calling it now. We'd like to wish you guys a nice October's Eve. And in the words of our grand supervisor, Mr. Randy, Nation. Say bye, V.
Later.
Laters.